Today we're going to talk about providing leadership in a very fragmented area, that whole area of sexuality and sex, and especially in Western culture here. And I want to start by giving, first of all, the big disclaimer. I'm going to share sort of my observations in these various areas, biblically informed, but I would tell you, keep studying about these things. You know, I've read lots of books from noted Christian authors that informed these next discussions. And I've also had the experience of 28 years of pastoring and leading as just watching this fragmented area. And some of the conclusions I make might be controversial in your mind. But I'd like to share, just be transparent with you, where some of my journey has led. But I want you, and I encourage you as a pastor, to don't get hung up if we would disagree on this area or that area, but just be engaged in these subjects. You know, first of all, when it comes to sexuality, it's always been a struggle for the Christian church. Even in early church history, wasn't more than 100 years after the Apostle Paul wrote the epistles, that the Gnostics rose up, and many of these leaders, like Origen and others, talk about sexuality as evil. And at times, the thinking was anti-body and even anti-female. It wasn't long when, actually it's 1,000 years, by the 12th century, the Catholic Church even banned marriage for priests. And the reason for that is because of that, the lower sexual drives brought immorality to the priests. What they really should have fixed was not let the priests be involved with politics, but instead they tried to get better priests by taking away that sexuality piece, that is marriage itself. In a lot of ways, a convention developed in Christianity, this convention of not talking about sex. And on one level, it's understandable because you want to be modest. You don't want to always talk about sex, and because the world tends to talk about it almost too much. But what many Christians did is they didn't talk about it hardly at all. So what happened is instead a Victorian thinking occurred. When it was talked about, it was talked about in a very shameful way. And you don't talk about it. You're not transparent about it. You don't give leadership in any area. So generations of Christians were sort of raised not talking about that which is so core created into our very existence. Now, today, as a pastor, in this given world where now so many people are talking about sex, it's talking about sexuality left, right, and everywhere, we need to give the biblical understanding of human sexuality in marriage, in the practices in marriage that really bring health and wholeness, the God-designed gift of human sexuality. Why should we talk about sexuality? Well, number one, it's biblical. Song of Songs, Proverbs, Genesis, the New Testament, the marriage better to be pure. We're supposed to talk about it, I believe, is because of so many twisted understandings. I believe the overwhelming presence of pornography encourage us to talk about sexuality, because basically pornography is talking about sexuality and showing sexuality in a way that is not God-honoring. I believe we talk about it because never before has so much brokenness of practice of marriage, divorce, experiences that people had before marriage. Sexuality is almost saturated in so many places in Western thought, in Western society, that we need to give the biblical understanding of these things. And there's issues, controversies, and as a pastor, people will come to you with all sorts of problems, and by God's grace, as a leader, we give leadership in this area. You know, we have to stay sharp in this subject. When talking to parishioners, to keep excellent boundaries. Like I probably mentioned before in this class, and in the boundary sections was mentioned, you don't have sessions with a woman one-on-one if you're a guy and talk about sexual boundaries or talk about, even in general, be very careful to keep very good boundaries, because one of the reasons I think people don't talk about sex that much is because sex has this sort of ability, if you talk about it, you think about it, and then because we're biologically wired as sexual beings, it can create temptation. So really watch your boundaries. Keep yourself pure. You know, don't put yourself in a position where you can cross a line. Keep up with those who are studying the subject. You know, keep reading. You know, this class is really, in these sessions, are such a overview, and in some ways these are, part of them are my personal journey as a pastor in these areas. But you read on the subject, you find a way to really know how to lead in this area, even know better than me. And always keep humble. You know, stay away from being the answer person. Always encourage that couple to grow that you're talking to. And when they're growing, don't correct them with something different if it's God-honoring that they're moving in that kind of a direction. You know, be as a pastor where in this subject, you're not like the sexual guru, but yet you're well-informed in this area. Well, in this particular area, in Western culture, and probably in most places now, there's such a proliferation of false teaching on the area of human sexuality. And that false teaching a lot of times displays itself in pornography and sort of pornography problems. And what do you do as a pastor when you're faced with some of that? And you will encourage and help people. You know, how many times now has a wife come to me and said, you know, Pastor, my husband has a pornography problem, and I'm thinking of divorcing him over it. You know, and I'll hear various things. Or right now, and today, it used to, even years ago, if I heard that it was mainly my husband had a pornography problem, now I'll even have it where a woman will have a pornography problem, or it's just a pornography problem. Or my son, my daughter, I'm finding more and more that we're facing this. You know, and basically, this is sort of how I've tried to encourage my parishioners. You know, I'll talk about basically, you know, the certain extremes and the general sin, habitual sin. What's general sin? Well, general sin is, since we're sexually wired, and I would go especially a guy, I've noticed that most guys will have seen pornography and occasionally, you know, go where they're not supposed to go, and they know it's wrong, they feel bad about it, they confess their sins, they move away from it, and then the next thing they do is set up good boundaries to not get back involved, and you know, and there's that, okay? Then there's also the habitual sin, where basically this is what they're into it secretly and privately, they create a culture around it. You know, so much of their life is based on that. Many times these habitual problems start when they're young, when they're in adolescence, and those are just habits that don't get broke, and that sin that just is kind of that secret sin. Now, as you're facing this with your parishioners, it's good to identify where that's at. And if it's habitual, even there, it's to set up boundaries that those habits are not energized. If it's something that everyone struggles with, yeah, set up habits as well and set up boundaries that just don't allow that kind of a thing. You know, I'll give you an example. If I go on a business trip, you know, my wife and I will, like, go out our way to make sure we make love and everything like that, so as to not give sort of, like, I find that, like, you know, you go alone in a hotel room, you know, it just seems like there's extra demons there that are just trying to tempt you in certain ways. So, and often to talk to one another and call each other as husband and wife up, but be on the same team so that things like these habits or things of pornography and that don't really get a deep root and maybe not even at all. And that's what you're shooting for. But understand that just to say, you know, we don't want to talk about it, it's all wrong, or on the other hand, to talk about too much is not good. to differentiate between what are we talking about here are all very helpful as a pastor. And if a wife says, my husband was looking at pornography, he cheated on me, you know, as a pastor, just throw water right on that fire. No, he didn't cheat on you. It's a sin. It's like, you know, do you ever worry, woman? And, you know, you wouldn't say woman, of course. You know, do you ever worry, Susan? Yes, I worry, you know. Well, that's sin too. You know, what you want to give is that gracious attitude of a future, a preferred future that does not include pornography in a marriage. That there's enough encouragement from Scripture that really guides for a positive, God-oriented and God-glorifying sexuality. Another thing for pornography is encourage some more support networks if there is a habitual pornography sin. And there are actually addiction groups if needed. And keep up on the subject yourself as a pastor in terms of how to bless people and help people. And there's great websites and you can check them out as well. Homosexuality. Here's another hot topic that's all over the place right now. You know, here's the debate on this. Many churches and in Christianity, in many places, have sort of said that is there a creational, does somebody born with a disposition to be homosexual? And that's been debated. And there's even reports in various denominations that some people have that. And then some of the churches will then say in the reports, even if they have a disposition, they shouldn't act on it. Okay. Well, it's everywhere. How do you respond? Well, as I look at that subject, you know, where I'm at on that subject is I've looked at the various material, and what I'll basically encourage people is, and I'll say, you know, first of all, there's a creational critique of homosexuality. The way the plumbing is pretty clear that there's a man and there's a woman. There's masculinity and femininity. And no offense. You know, we don't have to apologize for that. That's just what we see, what we believe. Secondly, the Bible, again and again, frowns upon, discourages, paints as not normative homosexuality. There's a prophetic message there. But that brings me to number three, is as a pastor, we can disagree strongly with someone who believes in homosexuality and practices especially homosexuality. But in this given day and age, we have to remember that we are to not disregard them as image bearers. You know, these hate crimes are all over the place now, whether it's United States, Canada, Western Europe, and you know, there's laws, hate laws, that if you will look in a violent or a degrading way or not give opportunity to someone who is a homosexual in their orientation, you can actually be fined or go to jail. Pastors, we shouldn't go down those trails of hate. And what I mean by that is we can disagree with people. We disagree with people all the time. I mean, we disagree with people within the Christian church. But that does not mean we disregard. You know, keep studying on this subject. You know, my personal belief on this subject and is that in our sinful nature, somebody can be whatever they want to be. And depending on someone's background, and these backgrounds are complicated. You know, somebody who was sexually abused by her father growing up and becomes a lesbian, and there's a lot of hurt and there's a lot of issues there. You know, to have that person come in connection to you and you're talking and ministering to that person, you know, there's a lot of walls and barriers that have been brought up by sin. And the choices made, you know, it's not just easy to say, oh, well, homosexuality is wrong and you're all going to hell for it. No, it's that journey. It's that the Bible critiques the practicing homosexual. The Bible critiques the practice. And we don't have to be ashamed of that. But on the other hand, let's not reduce all the gospel to a social issue. Let's not make homosexuality the mark that makes us Christian and you not. Let's instead proclaim Christ, the gospel, hold firm to our convictions that the Bible does not teach that homosexuality is okay. The Bible teaches that it is a not normative pattern and that we should not promote it. It should not be practiced. And when it's done, then we pray for those who are in that situation. Though we disagree, we don't disregard. Here's another subject that comes up to you so often as a pastor. Well, then, Pastor, what about masturbation? Now, here's the fact. A large percentage of Christians and actually have or do masturbate, especially singles. You'll find that, you know, like 98% of single men have masturbated and, you know, 70% of single women have masturbated. Well, how do you deal with that as sort of a pastor when some of these things come up? Now, in the past, it's been a very simple thing. You know, masturbation is a sin and shame, 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 and all the other stuff. Yet, we do see that the Bible itself does not directly deal with the subject. You know, some people will say, well, it's a sin of Onan, obviously. No, well, that is not a sin of masturbation. It was a sin of disobedience. This is how I encourage parents with children who want to know about this subject or people who ask you. Basically, from the book of Colossians, we read, do not be mastered by anything. And that's sort of the message that I'll give is, you know, masturbation is there and just make sure you're not mastered by it. And I'll add one more thing. You know, most people, when they have masturbated, it's connected to imagination. And what the secular world is doing right now is creating that imagination to be connected with pornography, masturbation with pornography. But the problem with that is it creates sort of a culture where masturbation and multiple person interests are kind of connected. So the sexuality DNA in someone through masturbation is created with like multiple partners or more different people or different looks. And how I've encouraged that whole thinking in terms of how do you advise or how do you encourage is, okay, don't be lorded by masturbation. And I'm not, you know, that's an area between you and God. But I do know this, you know, don't imagine with pornography. If possible, prayerfully, having that imagination of some composite of a future spouse, but not connected to many spouses and not connected to any face or not connected to any one look, and somehow connect, get that imagination that it's not this out of Bible imagination. Now, I'll tell you, this area, you may disagree in this area of talking about masturbation, and I totally understand that. All I'm talking about is the years of pastoring where these subjects come up. Because to just say, it's all sin, goodbye, it's end, and not have the, really, the Bible doesn't address it directly, but the Bible does direct in talking about impurity and lust. And, you know, looking after someone that's not your spouse lustfully. Somehow or other, we have to give leadership in a balanced way, in a way that kind of preserves the one man, one woman in marriage, in sexuality. And, you know, maybe my comments aren't that helpful, but maybe a few of them are helpful. Just stay involved in studying this issue and stay involved with being positive about these issues as they are confronted or you confront them in your ministry. In some ways, about sexuality, we have to sort of look at this and not run away from it. This area has to be attractive for us to talk about and not blush from it. And what we really want is great, or in Western culture we call that hot marriages. and will promote those that kind of a marriage. You know, it seems like in the media right now, I think they said over 90% of the sex scenes in marriages, or sorry, in movies, are done outside of marriage. What that does is it promotes hot sexuality is not in marriages. Pastors, we promote the best sexuality, the hottest sexuality is in marriage. We need to continue to engage in that subject in an appropriate way so that this area is just not laying out there for Satan to attack and the world to teach. And we need ourselves to keep up studying, keep up growing and learning that we might lead in this area. You know, this area is very controversial, but yet we can't shirk back. We need to be encouraging and connecting to our people to encourage that healthy, God-honoring sexuality.